Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is April 9th, 2021, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm joined at, it's Holy Wazdy Day, and I'm joined by two guests today, Vice President of McKinney Flavelle, Kevin Combs. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Mike. Hello, everybody.
And our commodity specialist, newest member to McKinney Flavelle's sales and analyst team, Eric Thornton. Hello, Eric, all the way from New York.
Good afternoon, Mike. Good afternoon, Kevin. Hello, everybody.
Yeah. Well, I'd be remiss not to mention the Masters and talk a little bit about the Masters. And I, as you all know, am not, I'm about as good a golfer as I am about picking my sports picks. But and I was told one time in golf that on the 18th hole when I got one of them pars, that they've never seen somebody golf so bad and have such a good time. So I don't know what that says about me. But I'm going to ask Eric and Kevin, who actually know something about golf, who they think is going to win the Masters this year. So, Kevin, who do you think?
Oh, wow. Well, looking at the leaderboard a little bit here before we got on this call, I'm a fan of Justin Thomas. I think he's up there in about third and has a good chance at a great round today. But it's such a pressure cooker. Once you get into the last 2 days, you never know what's going to happen there. And there's still, probably 10 to 15 guys up there that have a good chance of winning this.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Eric?
Yeah, I think Kevin's pick's pretty good. Justin Thomas, a solid player. But before the Masters started yesterday, I kind of went in on some picks where you kind of pick six golfers with a limited amount of salary cap, if you will. But one of the kind of flyers I picked was Mark Leishman, a little bit lower, and I see he's tied for second. So maybe I'll go with maybe the underdog there, Mark Leishman, see if he can pull this thing out.
Well, I'm going to go with two picks. I'm going to go with Bryson DeChambeau, just because I like his name, and it looks like he's doing well today. Final pick is Craig Ruffalo, whose birthday is Sunday.
Craig Ruffalo.
So I'm going to go with Craig Ruffalo.
Yeah, okay. I'll take that bet.
He's laughing right now.
DeChambeau is an interesting pick because he had a horrible first round, but he came on strong today. So yeah,
good.
He's obviously back above the cut line safely by a couple strokes. So can he pull off two great rounds to catch up to the leaders?
I'm going to say yes. All right, let's go ahead and get started with the WASD. And why don't we start with Kevin, who will cover sugar and corn, and then we'll move over to you, Eric, and do soybeans and wheat. Sugar, this one will be quick.
Yeah, sugar's a bit of a yawner today. We really had two changes. One, they lowered Florida's production by 30,000 tons, which we've pretty much been expecting. They're a little strong with their number. It was staying there at 2.2 million tons and surprising us. At the only other little change they made was increasing imports for high-tier imports, which 30,000 tons in offset. So basically, all the numbers ended up looking exactly the same, other than those two little changes that offset each other.
Okay, great. How about anything commercially or anything to add before you move on to corn?
You know, we're in that little bit of a doldrum here. Beet plantings are underway. That's the next thing we're going to be watching for here over the next, 6 weeks. Weather is warm, which is good. Some of the beet regions have been a little bit dry. You know, we're seeing that drought conditions persist across a good portion of the growing regions. But the good news is, hey, they can plant. So till the soil up, get the beet seeds in the ground, and get off hopefully to a decent start, get some timely rains, and we'll be off and running. And that's going to be key to watch. And I think key to pricing is just how we see the beet crop develop here. Again, plantings over the next 6 weeks, and then start watching the beets grow.
Excellent. How about on the corn side, Kevin?
You know, it's not quite the same yawner, but it was pretty much yawn as well. And, we are April. We're kind of in between. We're finishing up the old crop, start talking about plantings of the new crop. So it's not to be unexpected. But we saw basically some increase in use across all the categories for corn, whether it was exports were up, as we've seen that strong demand from China, feed and residual up a little bit, and industrial up, as well as ethanol demand's coming back. And it, you know, you look at year over year, and we're starting to see some strength on ethanol production every week. And, you know, it looks like economy's starting to open up. So I think it was wise to take that up as people start driving more and more. And I know everyone's ready to start getting out and about, go see a baseball game and have some fun.
Absolutely. Okay. Anything else on corn before we shift over to Eric?
You know, it was right kind of what we expected to see. We expected ending stocks to come down. We're down 150,000 tons to, you know, basically 1.35 billion bushels. And, you know, obviously a low number for where we want to be, and certainly bullish. And, you know, market's kind of reacting to that and has been strong in anticipation of the ending stocks. So,
okay, great. Well, thank you, Kevin. Eric, let's shift over to you. Why don't do you want to start with wheat or soybeans? It's your call.
Yeah, we can maybe start with soybeans first. Didn't really see any adjustments to the ending stocks number from March, staying at 120 million bushels total, but there was some adjustments within the balance sheet. We did see, as expected, a bump up in exports. So we went up 30 million bushels to now 2.28 billion total for the crop year. And like I mentioned, it was expected in the market as really the soybean sales have been exceeding now that 2.25 previous target for a couple weeks here. So definitely justified there, as there's continued tailing of demand as we start to go into the slow season in terms of soybean sales and exports. But there was also a small reduction in seed. We went 2 million bushels lower for seed off of the lower than anticipated acreage, as we saw last week for soybeans for the next crop year. So a little bit of adjustment there. And then there was a decent little reduction in the residual demand category, some 17 million bushels lower there. So again, factor in the increase to exports, decreases to seed residual. We came out even for ending stocks, and also factoring in a 10 million bushel reduction in crush. So that is the biggest highlights there for soybeans. Really didn't impact the market all that much. Prices kind of built up in anticipation of the lower stocks, especially though so for corn, as Kevin mentioned. But, you know, really didn't get any surprises here much for soybeans. But for soybean oil, we did see that there was a 400 million gallon reduction in the biodiesel category, which is a little surprising, as, you know, now being at 7.9 billion pounds puts us pretty close to last year for 2019-20, but there's definitely been a significant amount of crush so far in the last few months, albeit February was a little light. So maybe that's some of the reasoning for the USDA taking that down today, but they did offset that by adding it to the food, feed, and other industrial consumption category. So exports were lowered by 100 million pounds. So net came out just fractionally lower on ending stocks at 1.718 billion pounds. So that's the look on soybeans. Again, I think not too much of a surprise there. Transitioning to wheat, of the three grains, I think wheat had maybe the biggest surprise. And if you want to call it a major surprise, I wouldn't go that far, but that definitely globally ending stocks did fall further yet again. So we lost another 5.67 million metric tons, dropping from now 301.19 to 295.52 million metric tons. And a lot of that, again, being driven off of the continued wheat for feed demand we're seeing, especially from China alone, increased 1.3 million metric tons again. So continuing to see China open up their wheat reserves for feed stocks. And that is obviously being taken into account here over the last 6 months, as we've gone now again from 320 million metric tons back in November to 295 million metric tons now. So we're now below record-ending stocks, as was previously projected, like I said, for quite a while for this crop year. So kind of took the market a little bit by surprise, and you're seeing prices react accordingly there. So we're up anywhere from 10 to 14 cents per bushel across the three wheat contracts. But on the U.S. balance sheet, we did see that feed and residual had trimmed up and lowered 25 million bushels to now 100 million. But most of that was already known pre-report based on the fact of the quarterly stocks numbers coming out last Wednesday. So we also saw some lower imports by 10 million bushels to 110 million target for this year, and USDA justifying that based on some fewer durum wheat and spring wheat imports from Canada. So some adjustments there, which ended up bringing ending stocks higher this month after staying stagnant for 3 months consecutively. So we are now at a ending stocks figure of 852 million bushels, so up from 836 in, like I said, the last 3 months. So that's about it for wheat and
okay.
And soybeans. Again, not an overly surprising report, pretty much on expectations. And a lot of the pre-report price action, I think, you know, built up to this report and the lower stocks. Thus, you're not seeing a dramatic reaction in price today.
Okay, great. Well, I think we're just going to go ahead and wrap this one up for everybody so they can go off and enjoy the Masters go Bryson. I think he's going to win it. But before we let you go, reminder of our spring virtual seminar on April 27th and 28th. You can register at McKinney-Fovell.com. Back to the future, the food revolution continues. So $250 for your entire company, unbelievable value. So get everybody, get marketing, R&D, procurement, C-suite, everybody should join. It's going to be a great two-day event, and we'll look forward to seeing everybody there. And as I always like to say, live with an attitude of gratitude. Enjoy every minute, moment you have, even you, Bryson, when you take home that big prize on Sunday. Happy birthday, Craig.
Happy birthday, Craig.
Bye now. That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney-Fovell's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Fovell.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.